Yep, that's it. Welcome to the room, boys. We are here at the Smooth Drambler E, and we have multiple people on the mics. I was waiting for the best stuff, so I let y'all talk before that. So we have Jonathan.
What's up?
And then we have third mic. Whoever wants to grab it.
How's it going?
What's your name?
My name's Rob.
Rob?
Pastor Rob.
Pastor Rob.
Pastor Rob.
Oh, this is going to be a real sweet podcast.
Awesome.
My name is Pastor Rob. So what's your favorite whiskey, Pastor Rob?
Favorite one? I don't know.
Starts with a B and ends with a county.
Yeah, the Boone County 12-year was really good. What's your favorite one?
My favorite one is between five different whiskeys, most of them smooth Ambler, but I got tons of favorites.
Well, my current one that you can get over the counter, like you can currently get, would be the Boone County.
All right.
But the smooth Ambler.
My current favorite is.
Your mother.
Oh, okay, good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
My mother is available. So, next person that wants to get on the mic. I can rock it. We have multiple people on Matt Coates with his tight ass shorts. Chinook shorts. Bobby Blizzard. We got. Somebody take the fucking mic and talk. Jesus Christ.
All right.
It's not that tough.
I'm here. What do you want to talk about?
Bobby Blizzard.
Yes, sir.
No.
Favorite whiskey you ever had?
Old Scout 11 year, single barrel. We're recording right now, so shut your mouth. Please, yeah, have some respect when people talking.
Please have respect for this podcast, assholes.
So the old MGP, Old Scout 11-year, just was the absolute turning point in my whiskey collection addiction. Before that, I would just buy everything I saw. I would just open it, and after realizing that I was sitting on just a ton of gems, and just, you know, I just would stop opening things and just chasing what I knew I liked.
So why do you have Old Taylor in your hand?
No, it's Turkey. I put it in this. It's a.
You changed the bottle.
It's 84-8-101. Yeah.
Don't talk to me, Tyler. If you're not going to be on the mic, you fucking asshole. You're supposed to be the second person on this podcast. Your bitch ass is sleeping over there.
He's laying in the bed next to Patrick. He's just resting. Actually,
unless you're on this podcast, shut your mouth.
He's laying in the bed next to Patrick with nothing on but a tank top.
Can you smack him in the face with that? Guess what? Patrick, smack him in the face with it.
You'll rip the whole apparatus.
Question, Chad. What's the question, Chad?
You are supposed to be the second bourbon boy.
Huh, guess what?
You should be on this,
bitch.
I am
the bourbon boys. What's the
question? You are a fucking shit bourbon boy.
The question is...
You are the worst bourbon boy ever. Just let that sink in.
Hold on. Basically, guys, I'm going to address this.
The best bourbon boy ever?
Being the worst bourbon boy.
Baby boy.
You know... everything can't be great.
In life.
I mean, some things suck.
Okay.
So I'm embracing it with full.
I take that badge.
You know, I'm all in.
Curly,
suck. I'm curly.
This is what happens.
Sucking the teeth.
When you're terrible, this is what happens.
I don't think this is ever going to make it on.
No, it's going to make it. I'm putting it up tomorrow. Fuck you guys. Especially Tyler.
I can't wait.
Because he is fucking terrible.
I can't wait for this to go live.
I've never seen a worse podcast co-host than Tyler. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the worst one.
The worst.
Yes.
So,
hi guys, I'm Patrick.
So let's let Patrick talk about Buffalo Trace.
Oh,
For the third time.
Technically, Patrick wants to talk about Armagnac.
What do you want me to talk about? Buffalo Trace? Armagnac. Do you want me to talk about Armagnac?
No, what I really want to talk about is the fact that Buffalo Trace has a stranglehold on the secondary market.
So you heard, so I think most of our listeners, they know that recently there's been the big crackdown on Facebook secondary pages. Bourbon market pages. And so I believe, so for a little bit of background, you're saying that you have been led to believe that this is because of Buffalo Trace?
What I have been led to believe is yes, it is because of Buffalo Trace, because I have seen the articles where Buffalo Trace said, stop it.
Okay. So we're not going like some crazy insider information here. We're piecing together some public information.
My insider information is Buffalo Trace saying, quit it.
And I would agree. I think Buffalo Trace has been really clear from the get-go. They are not fans of the secondary market.
So my second question is, Patrick, when was the first time you had sex? Is it, were you like 19 or? I feel like you were like a 19 or 18. That's terrible.
I first had sex.
Bobby Blizzard, get out of
here. Are you asking me a real question?
Yes, that's a real question.
Yeah, so Chad, I first had sex on my wedding night with my wife. Wow.
Did you really?
We were both virgins. So go the fuck home, Chad.
Is that a serious question? Yeah. Well, I mean, I was pretty close, so.
Christian piece of shit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
How about Jonathan? Jonathan, was the first time you had sex?
I've got the same answer as Patrick.
You lying bitch.
I believe Jonathan.
I believe Patrick.
I hate both of y'all. Because you're lying like a motherfucker.
Ask Tyler when he lost his virginity.
Well, Tyler lost his virginity when he was 12. To his teacher, probably. Tyler, when did you lose your virginity?
Well, let's get into it. So basically, her name was Jill. did it go well? No. But guess what? I did it anyway.
Has it gone well since?
Basically, I threw Jill on her back and I said, listen, this is how it's going down. And she said, hold on, Patrick.
Hold on.
Don't give the microphone up and don't be ready for what I'm ready to say.
This is where the podcast is going.
So, I mean, Jill, Jill jumped on our back and she said, what's going on? And I said, listen, Jill, it's about to happen.
Listen, Jill.
Should be told, that's how it went down.
No, hand to the next one over here. How you doing? What's your name?
Simon.
Simon.
Simon says.
So how did you get in whiskey?
Beer actually was...
What was the first whiskey you ever had?
I would say Johnny Walker Black.
Ooh.
Just because.
And best whiskey you ever had?
Best whiskey?
Yes. That's the point of
this
podcast.
Free whiskey.
Free whiskey is the best. What's your name, lady?
Margaret.
Margaret?
Yes.
Okay. Favorite whiskey?
Well, I'm still kind of venturing into whiskey, so I don't really have a favorite.
Okay. So, best one you ever had?
I do like the Willet Pot Still.
Okay. Willet Pot Still.
Makes a great mouthwash bottle.
We got a lot of talking to do with you. Who came in with you? Who brought you in this? The guy behind you?
My boyfriend, Simon.
Oh, Simon?
Don't keep track of that stuff.
Yeah, sure. None of us do. None of us keep track of it. Yeah. Okay. I want to pass it on to introduce yourself for the first time.
This is Kim from Virginia.
So, Kim, your favorite whiskey?
It depends entirely on time and mood and everything else. I could probably fairly say whatever I'm drinking at the moment, but favorites, I'm partial to E.H. Taylor Barrel Proof, partial to a bunch of other barrel proofs. On the Scotch front, I think the best one I've ever had is a Glenfarclas 40-year-old, which was amazing. So, yeah, all over the shop. Kind of an equal opportunity imbiber.
You got to eat that mic when you talk.
Get too excited,
John. Well, it doesn't take much to get me excited. I am married and I have two kids. So, your favorite whiskey you ever had?
It might be that Glenfarclas 40. That was pretty amazing. There's a pretty damn good Scapa that I've had recently, spending some time in Scotland. Smooth. Yes, you can. So for on the bourbon or rye side of the house, yeah, Smooth Ambler is definitely way, way up there. So
all right.
Certainly
talk,
the rye that they had at the Dramblery last year were pretty amazing.
Hello.
Oh, it's not working. You're not in this.
Let's all do it all over again.
No, we're not doing that. Just got to make sure I'm in the... okay. That's
you got
good.
It.
So, Jonathan.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
He is... I met Jonathan when we were doing volleyball in Lexington. He still can't play volleyball. He has no athletic ability.
I got a little.
No. Very little.
I can jump into the net.
What's your favorite whiskey you've ever had?
Oh, man, that's tough. It's probably got to be... one of the Smooth Amblers. Maybe the first Go Big Blue pick. That was a good one.
You just love Go Big Blue because you were a part of it.
Not the first time.
So if you had to pick one that you went to every time, what would it be?
Just something you can get readily available that I could go to every time. I'm a big fan of the Bullet Barrel Proof.
So we are here at the Smooth Dramblery. What is your favorite thing about the Smooth Dramblery?
Oh, man, hard to say a favorite. I would say the camaraderie, the people, the whiskey. It's just a really good time, a really good chance for a lot of Smooth Drambler supporters to come out, have a really good time, get together with each other, and just talk whiskey and sample whiskey and enjoy whiskey.
So what do you think about the bourbon secondary market?
Drives the market. For prices and...
So you think it's like a collective effort on pushing...
Anybody that puts up a bottle is adding to the secondary bourbon market. If it's a sale or it's a raffle, that's adding to it.
And so this new thing with the bourbon, what's the company again? That is... causing all these Facebook secondary markets. Buffalo Trace.
Buffalo Trace has been around for a long time. They are... Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to ask. They've been taking down a bunch of Facebook groups. That's what you said earlier, right? They've been pushing for the secondary market to kind of collapse on itself. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that the secondary market has been collapsing on itself for a long time, but... Somebody took a shit in the bathroom. Anybody who has been a part of the secondary market for a while has seen that Buffalo Trace is going up and up and up, and now Buffalo Trace isn't wanting to feed off of it. They're wanting to separate themselves. That's the biggest problem. Anybody like Buffalo Trace, who has made their living off of secondary market, which is what has happened with Pappy, is now trying to separate themselves from the secondary market or push themselves away because they don't want to be a part of the illicit market that is secondary market.
Okay, do you think it has a lack? Something to do with maybe the lack of actually people drinking bourbon and just trading it and trying to gain money?
A little bit. I mean, they're looking at it and saying people are actually trading and pushing it off on other people.
Yeah.
And I guess I could see they are mad that they're not making that money, but at the same time, they're making money hand over fist.
So why aren't they raising their prices? Because they could probably sell every single bottle for considerably more than they are now for the entire Pappy and BTAC line, certainly, and for a number of other things. If it makes them that mad, why don't they raise their prices and capitalize on it?
because that's what Willett did. They raised their prices, and the price on the secondary Willett just kept going up and up and up. So they're going to be pissed either way.
Well, those two scenarios are a little different, and I do agree with what he's saying. What Willett has
this jackass is talking with that in the mic and his
The first person with insight.
You know what I'm going to do?
I'm
going to lay down and talk.
What Willett has done is completely different from what Buffalo Trace is doing or will do. So as far as like Buffalo Trace taking, let's just take Blanton's for just a specific example. So Blanton's is something that people like us, we don't really appreciate and we don't really respect, even though it's a great product. But people that are outside of what we do,
eat the mic,
diving into,
put the
whiskey,
mic in your face.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
I mean, it's just what you have to do if you want to be on this podcast.
The point of it is
you may or may not want to be on this.
There's a huge conglomerate.
Since you are the co-host,
Jesus Christ, there's a huge conglomerate of people who are interested in Blanton's. They're interested in Buffalo Trace products, and like she said, if they wanted to raise that price to gain more profit margin, they could do it easily. But the point of it is from our point of view. It's already began to be somewhat of a joke. I mean, at this point, $69.99 for a bottle of Blanton's is preposterous. That's just for us, but for what they do as a particular brand, it's absolutely genius. Continue to raise the price, continue to make your money, continue to do what you do, and it's not going to stop. I mean, that as far as what the industry goes, that part of it will never stop. They'll murder it on that. What we originally started this conversation on, I don't really know.
Thank you for being a part of this.
Yes, exactly. But
we appreciate you, Bourbon Boy.
Here you go.
What?
So.
Are we going downtown and hanging out?
No.
We're not? I'm taking this whole podcast downtown. We're going on the road.
Why do you think the Buffalo Trace doesn't raise their prices, Chad?
Why would they? They make enough money on everything else.
What? I mean, everybody wants to make more money. Why wouldn't they want to make more money?
They're a conglomerate. They're all about the maximizing their profits, so they just want people to be out there looking for it.
And so you think that they profit more, which I think is a valid explanation. You think they profit more by the exclusivity of their products,
yes,
and by the fact that they are. You think they're maybe artificially making their product scarce.
Of course. Yeah, that's the entire point. Thank you for making my point on the entire podcast. Finally, somebody did it. Everybody, they are mad that everybody's making money off their products after they put them out, and they used to not make that much money. So they were able to just put the products out, and everybody was flocking to it. Now people are selling on the secondary market. They're just mad that people are making more money now than they used to. And that's what it boils down to. And what's up, doctor?
I'm not the doctor. He's the doctor.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering. I've
Doctor of Jesus.
It's horrible. Do you think that, you know, they put out the Pappy, was it once a year, maybe twice a year, whatever. Do you think that they're getting frustrated because people are wanting to get the Pappy that was released maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and they don't care as much about the current going on releases? So there's more of a hype of something that's already been put out that they've already got money for that's just circulating.
First thing I want to ask is, what's the first thing you ever had whiskey-wise?
My first one? I think it was...
I don't think I ever asked you that.
It was a Jim Beam Black, I think it was.
Best whiskey you ever had?
Probably a Old Scout. I really like the...
Look at this motherfucker over laying down.
Yeah, he's asleep. He's reached his ending point.
This bitch ass.
I think it was the... Was it the fat rhino pick that you guys had?
Oh.
Was that what it's called? Unicorn? Fat unicorn?
What's up, Eve?
Was that it? I really enjoyed that one.
That was it?
I think so.
Okay. He answered your question.
All right. Well, thank you.
There was a distraction. It was okay. All right.
Next two people can get on. Hand the mic over. Yep.
It wasn't a trap. I swear.
We got a couple new people entered the room. They're going to introduce themselves to the podcast.
What's your name?
Hi, my name is Chris Allsbrooks.
Chris Allsburg.
And my husband here, Robert Allsbrooks, he's a little shy. Robert.
Yeah, I see him. He looks shy.
Robert.
Robert!
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight?
Thanks, Robert.
So what was the first whiskey you ever had?
Oh, I don't remember the first whiskey I ever had. It was probably Jack Daniels with my father long, long, long time ago. What about you?
Probably on the same lines. Jack Daniels and Knob Creek.
You gotta get on the mic.
Jack Daniels and Knob Creek.
All right.
So the bourbon that turned me on to bourbon was the Four Roses Single Barrel.
Topic change.
For me, it was probably H. Taylor Small Batch.
Tell us.
I think my favorite cocktail.
You went different. All right.
She's the bourbon secondary market, good for the hobby or not?
You know what? I am a hobbyist, and I consider myself a bourbon hunter. And I have got stuff off of the secondary market because there's things that I want to finish out my collection. So, yes.
You think you've gotten more positive than negative from having the secondary market?
I think I've gotten more positive because it makes me more aware of some of the bottles that I want to get from my personal collection. And even though I sip and my husband likes to collect, we also like to have things that look nice in our home too. So, you know, we want to get this. I think like we had Four Roses Super Premium. So then we had to find it, and you can't buy that in Maryland. So we had to get it off the secondary market. So I think there is a place for the secondary market. And I think it makes you really aware when you go into a store and you buy stuff, because sometimes we'll buy a second bottle just because you get that first bottle, you get the second bottle, you sell the second bottle, and now you pay for both of them. Yeah. So that's a way.
So I'll play kind of devil's advocate here. Do you think that having that secondary market has made it worth the fact that maybe there are releases that you could have gotten more easily in the past, but because people know they're able to make a profit off of them, people who would have otherwise never purchased, say, a Booker's 30th or a Four Roses Small Batch Limited Edition, that now these bottles are really unobtainable unless you have, you know, access or lucky or wait in a line or whatever. You know, I think that's sort of what people see as the downside to the secondary market. Do you think, you know, I guess that's, when I ask everybody whether they think it's good or bad, I guess it's sort of the, do you still think that you got more benefit than harm?
I do think I do, because we've waited in line. We've been in line at 2 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. And then I left the line. I got into at 5 o'clock in the morning, bought a bottle, went to a store and bought the same bottle at the store. So I think there's a market for everybody there. I did learn of that place to go to from somebody in line with me. And I was like, how are you going to give up your source? But they did. And I went there before they did. I definitely think it's worth it. And I think that people learn so much from the secondary market, because I follow it to see what's coming out. You know, I'm in Maryland, so I can see what comes out. I see posting, so I know what's coming to my area in about 3 or 4 weeks. So that's what I really like about the secondary market, because it lets you know what's coming out and what's available.
I like it. Thanks.
I agree that there's some challenges there as far as bottles being unobtainable now. You do run into some of that. But I kind of agree with her that for us, and we're new people that just kind of got involved probably in the last 3 years, it's given us the ability to kind of catch up to people that have been in there for 10 years to kind of understand what's going on, what things are available. You get a little bit of history because you start seeing bottles you've never seen before. What's that bottle? You start looking it up. You ask a few questions. People inform you what's going on. But
don't forget the regrets, the bottle you should have bought when you saw it. Yeah,
yeah. That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You weren't going to ask about the maternity regret?
Well, I started out with virginity, but next question is the bottle you regret not buying.
No. Actually, I was offered a Willett 6-year 2 years ago in Kentucky, and I turned it down. That was probably the one that I should have went ahead and got.
All right. Yeah. You had to keep that mic close to your face.
Close to me? Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
There you go. Thank you. Okay. What was the first whiskey you ever had?
Probably a Jack Daniels or a Knob Creek.
Okay.
Best whiskey you've ever had?
Who? That's tough.
Me? I thought I was asking that.
Wow. I'm going to go a little further back. It was a Four Roses pick called Randy's Candy.
Randy's Candy. Do you remember the recipe?
No, I don't.
Randy's Candy.
Randy's Candy.
What's your favorite group?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Bourbon group?
Yeah.
What's your favorite bourbon group?
MGP Post, obviously.
MG Post second.
Oh, yes. Second. Who's first?
Kobe. Yeah.
All right.
It's a small group out of Kentucky. Some guys that I met. Those are some guys that kind of helped us to get started. We met them down there probably 2 years ago, and they brought us in. They opened up their home to us, shared a bunch of nice bottles with us. I mean, my first William LaRue was with them. The guy actually was like, "You guys are from out of town. I'll be right back." He went home, came back 10 minutes later, pulled out a bottle of William LaRue, said, "You guys open it."
You got to watch out for 22. Those guys from Kentucky.
You gotta be careful. Hell, I thought I was a part of every group.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in closing, got anything to say?
Appreciate you guys having us on. Had a lot of fun meeting you guys today. You guys are on it. Appreciate
you too.
It.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Hope to do some good things with you going forward. There you go.
Yeah, I want to talk. Close.
Oh no, I'm just happy to be here. Happy to finally get to meet you.
Great. You don't want to know. You want to know how old I was in '97.
Talk to everybody tomorrow.
Thank you. And Patrick, you got anything to say in closing?
Appreciate you having me on.
I just wish that Tyler was alive enough to talk.
Chilling like a villain. Let's go.
The second bourbon boy is kind of a dickhead.
Man, we're out here, man. We're out here doing it. Don't listen to him.
Yeah, we're out doing it. I'm doing it. His ass is sitting at home. Chilling. All right. Well, until next time, enjoy your pours and enjoy your family.